My name's Matt. I'm one of the guys on staff here, and I get to carry us through the teaching part of our time this morning. And I want us to begin a new series today on the topic of work. I called the series The Butcher, The Baker, and The Candlestick Maker, although it could just as easily be The Teacher, The Doctor, and The Homemaker, or The Coffee Maker, or The Graphic Designer, or Nurse, or Hairdresser, or Retailer. Work. We all work in some form or another. It's a huge part of our lives. Some of us love our work, and some of us dread the work that we have to do. But we all spend a great deal of our time working. What was your first job you ever got hired to do? Maybe it was in high school or college. Maybe your parents had a friend of a friend who gave you a chance to do something. Maybe you started out serving ice cream or working at a fast food restaurant. What was your first job? My very first job was cleaning up cats and dogs at my dad's veterinarian clinic. And that job successfully inspired me to not be a veterinarian when I grow up. Some of us have had some pretty odd jobs. In fact, check out some of these odd jobs that I found on the internet. This is great. This guy scuba dives for golf balls. Pretty exciting work, huh? Or how about this one? That's not his trunk. That woman really loves elephants. I love this job at waitress needed, must be 18 years old with 20 years. I wonder what magical creature they hired for that job. Or how about this guy? That job would get old fast, I think. Excuse me, sir, as I shove you. Somebody told me that they visited Tokyo and that's actually a job there. Someone shoves you onto the subway. Or how about this guy? That's trusting your coworkers right there. Would you hold my ankles while I fix it? And he looks so distracted, doesn't he? I have no idea what's going on in this one. But hopefully those ladies got paid well. And then for those of you who are James Bond fans, the odd job himself, fighting British secret agents with his razor-sharp derby. There are some odd jobs out there, and maybe you've had an odd job as well. And so often, it seems that there's nothing spiritual, nothing God-related, are biblically meaningful about our jobs. Most of us are serious about our work. We're serious about pursuing success. And we're also serious about pursuing a life that's meaningful and has purpose, even a life of faith in relationship with God. But rarely are you and I prepared to integrate those two pursuits, so that it's possible for us to know God and to work hard and for those two extremely significant pursuits in life to have little, if anything, to do with one another. I brought a door with me this morning, and I'm going to tell you more about my door later on, but it's easy to close the door between faith and our work. It's easy to compartmentalize our jobs and our relationship with God so that they do not mix. Someone just told me this past week that they aren't supposed to talk about religion at work. That door is closed. Someone else told me once, it's a good thing my coworkers don't know I'm a Christian because I would make Jesus look really bad. And that's not okay. That door is closed. Most of us aren't necessarily making Jesus look bad. at work. We've just learned to work as if Jesus wasn't part of the equation. The door is closed and we haven't even noticed it. Faith can become such a private matter that it never shows up in our work. We keep the door closed and we keep a lock on it. But what if you and I could open that door? What if our work and our worship weren't entirely different or separate? What if your work, even in the oddest job, could actually become an expression of worship to God? The Bible points to a way that you and I can find greater purpose at work as we follow Jesus. And that's what I want us to look at today. I want us to consider four ways that the Bible points us towards greater purpose at work as we respond to the message of Jesus Christ. God has created us in such a way that our work can become worship. And as we begin this series, I'd like to pray with you and ask God to be part of this with us so that we could become a community of worshipers in our city that show others who our God is. So would you let me pray for us this morning? Well, God, I thank you that you are alive. And as we sung this morning, you are strong. God, you are able. You are able to heal us. You are able to restore us, Lord. You are able to put us into a right relationship with you because of what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you, God, that even today, again, you invite us into life with you. Even as we were singing earlier, God, I was praying that you would help us to worship you. Help us to trust you. Help us to live as though the words we were singing really were the words that we want to live by, that we want to trust. Would you do that today as we look into your word together? We ask you to in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first, the Bible tells us, the Bible points to a greater purpose at work by telling us that work was God's idea. We were created for it. I want you to look at your bulletins, if you would, this morning. There are some verses inside. They'll be on the screens as well. These words that we're going to read first come from Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible. We can't even get through the creation story without encountering work. It's such an essential part of life as God designed it. And so Genesis chapter 1 says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They'll reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground." And so we see that God's purpose for humankind from the very beginning was for men and women to cooperate with him and to express his image to the world around us. God doesn't give that job to any other creature. He doesn't give a job to the fish or to the birds or to the animals, but to men and women, he gives a job description, a purpose. He hires them. The job is to share the responsibility of governing, ruling, reigning over his creation and to take care of it. all the while expressing his image. This is the first job that God gave to humankind. It's like your first job when you showed up and they said, okay, here's what you're going to do. I want you to take care of this. This is your responsibility to accomplish. God created us with a job to do, to cooperate with him and to express his image in the world around us. Work is then not a result of the capitalist society that we live in. Work is not a result of economics. Work is not just a means to survival. But before there was an HR department, before there were payrolls, before resumes and career choices, before any company or corporation, you already were created with a job to do. You have been hired by the Creator to cooperate with him and to express his image in the world around you. You woke up with that at the top of your to-do list this morning. Tomorrow, when you wake up, you will have that job to do again. He has hired you, and he isn't going to fire you. He has given us the ultimate job manual for this job in his word, and he offers us continuing education every day through the presence and power of his Holy Spirit for all who would trust him. And when we understand that God created us to cooperate with him and to express his image in the world around us, then our work, whatever odd job we may be doing, takes on a whole new, greater purpose. The second thing that the Bible tells us that points us towards greater purpose in our work is that when we receive that job description from God, then our work becomes more than work. It becomes worship. You ever thought of your job as worship to God before? Some of you are thinking, you got to be kidding me, man. Well, in Genesis chapter 1, we saw that work was God's idea. And now I want you to see what God says about work in Genesis chapter 2. It says, then the Lord took the man and put him into the garden to cultivate it and keep it. That word cultivate, look at that word for a minute. The root word in Hebrew that we translate as cultivate here is a word that actually means to serve or to work. Many other times in the Old Testament, that word is translated to work. And so it makes sense that God placed the man in the garden to work the garden. But the word, again, as the root, means to serve. And so that work was serving the purpose of God. In fact, most commonly, this word, this Hebrew word in the Old Testament, gets translated not just to serve, not just to work, but to worship. This word means to worship, because to serve God's purposes is to worship him. Paul picks up in the New Testament this same concept in his letter to the Romans. He makes this statement, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. To serve God with our work is to worship him. The Hebrew people served God their sacrifices. They served God their songs and their prayers. They served God their lives and their tithe. Worship is any form of serving God. And when we accept God's job offer to cooperate with him and to express his image in the world around us, then we are worshiping him. And you and I can worship God in any job, in any workplace, for any pay, as long as we are cooperating with him and expressing his image in the world around us. I have a friend who's an accountant, and I didn't think there was anything spiritual about accounting before I knew this guy. But he told me once that when he was a young man and first starting out as an accountant, that he had come to faith in Jesus, and he began to pray this prayer, God, help me turn people onto you and not off of you. And he said that he has prayed that prayer throughout his career so that he is not working towards his client's approval or to impress his co-workers, but he has made even difficult decisions at times to turn clients away because their business didn't reflect the character of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is an accountant who cooperates with God and expresses who God is in his work. He built a successful accounting practice with the goal of turning people on to Jesus and not off of him. His accounting work became an expression of worship. Think about that idea for a moment of praying a prayer for God to help you worship in your work. What could you pray? What could you say to God? What could you ask God to help you with this week so that your work becomes an expression of who He is? The third way that the Bible points us towards greater purpose at work is that it tells us that when we separate work from worship, we forfeit that greater purpose. When we separate our work from our worship, then we have the tendency to view both work and worship from the same point of reference, ourselves. It looks like this. I made a little slide for us. There's me, there's work, and there's worship, but they're separated. And when we start with what we know of ourselves, we can ask, well, what do I need to do in life with God, and what do I need to do in life with my work? I'll devote a portion of my time and a portion of my energy and a portion of my resources and a portion of my finances to God, and I'll invest portions of it in my work. And this perspective places me at the center as the doorkeeper with the authority to allocate resources according to my perceived needs. And as long as we keep worship and work separate, here's what happens. We will strive to serve ourselves. Back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, work is God's idea. Genesis chapter 2, God shows us that work can be an expression of worship. And now in chapter 3, man and woman will choose to reject God's invitation to worship, and they will choose to serve themselves. As the story goes, the serpent tempts them with fruit from the tree that God said, don't touch, but they disregard God's words, and they fall to that invitation. And listen to what God says to Adam. Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree, whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. So rejecting God's words results in a brokenness that affects how you and I live and how you and I work. When we work for our own gain and not for God's greater purpose, of cooperating with Him and expressing His image, then work becomes like scratching out a life for ourselves. You ever felt like that? Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if you're barely making it or if you have more than you ever thought that you would have. When work is all for us, then there's never enough reward and there's always too much to do. The writer of Ecclesiastes says it like this, that it's chasing after the wind. You can never catch the wind. Your desires and your ambitions and your insecurities and your dissatisfactions will never settle until they settle in worship to God, because that's what you and I were created to do. That's God's great purpose for our work. If you find yourself striving and chasing the wind today, there is hope for you and I, because God invites us to do life with Him and to work with Him. God invites us to trust Him for a new life through faith in Jesus. Listen to how Paul says it in his letter to the Ephesians. He says, "You are God's masterpiece," talking about those who turn towards God and trust Him. "You are God's masterpiece, created new in Christ Jesus to do the good works He prepared in advance for you to do." When you and I are made right with God through our faith in His Son, then you and I can rest in His approval, in His provision, and in His greater purpose for us. The fourth way that the Bible points us to greater purpose at work is to tell us that that greater purpose flows out of a relationship with our God. Notice the progression of the creation story. God creates men and women, and then it is out of that relationship with God that their work and their purpose flows. It looks more like this slide. There's me, there's God, we're in relationship, and then out of that flows a purpose for work. The Bible doesn't place you and I as the point of reference to balance work and worship in our lives, but rather the Bible tells us that work is to flow out of our faith in God, out of our devotion to Him, out of our time spent with Him, out of what we know of His Word, out of times that we spend in prayer. Our work and our purpose flows out of that place. That's why God desires to mend our broken relationships with Him. That's why He's made a way for us to be forgiven and to step back into relationship with Him through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we put our faith in Jesus, our relationship with God is restored and put back together, and that is the only way for you and I to cooperate with God and to express His image in the world around us. In relationship with Jesus, work can be as sacred as prayer, as singing songs of praise and worship. Your work can become as sacred as any other form of worship when your work flows from your relationship with Jesus. When we act like the doorkeeper between our work and our worship, then what we do is we ask, what do I need to do for God and what do I need to do for work? But when our work flows out of our relationship with God, then we ask, what do I need to do in my work that expresses who Jesus is? Think about that for a minute. What could you do in your work? Whether that is in an office or it's at home or it's out in the field, when you are in your job, what could you do that expresses what you know to be true about Jesus? How could you cooperate with God and express His image to those around you? What do you need to do in your work that flows from your relationship with God? Anybody like Chick-fil-A? I love Chick-fil-A. Maybe it's because I'm from the South, but I love to go to Chick-fil-A and I get that sandwich, and it's wrapped in that little foil bag, and it's like a tiny little oven, and I open it up, and I pull it out, and I like to open my sandwich and pour that Polynesian sauce over it, and then put it back in that little bag and roll it up and eat my fries while it's staying warm. My mouth is watering even as I'm talking about it. Well, before we got a Chick-fil-A closer to us here in Pasadena, Lindsay and I would occasionally drive over to the Chick-fil-A in Hollywood. Anybody ever been to that one? And they've got that big patio out in front at that Chick-fil-A in Hollywood. Well, about a year and a half ago, Lindsay and I were over there, and we were sitting out on that patio, and there was this 19 or 20-year-old young man who was working for Chick-fil-A. And he was out on that patio, and I noticed, in fact, everybody seemed to take notice how it was almost as though we were sitting on his patio, and he was there to serve us as his guests or something. And he walked around that patio, he kept it clean, and he would go from table to table and ask, "Can I get you a refill? Can I get you napkins? Do you need anything?" And it was really kind of interesting how everybody sort of noticed this kid and how he hosted us on this patio. And at one point, he got into a conversation with a man who was there eating alone. And they talked for a long while. And after a little while, I overheard this young man working for Chick-fil-A start talking to this man about his church and invite this guy to his church's Easter service. And I was so impressed with this kid. And then it dawned on me. Here on this patio at Chick-fil-A in Hollywood, this young man is working as an overflow of his relationship with God. This guy doesn't just work for Chick-fil-A, he works for the Lord. And he isn't just serving us with refills and napkins. He is serving the King of Kings, this young minimum wage cleanup boy at a fast food restaurant in Hollywood was worshiping his maker at work. You and I can do that too. We can work like that. I don't care what your job is. God created you to cooperate with Him and to express who He is in the world around you. Let every ounce of production and creativity and care that you give to your work and to those you serve, let it all be done to worship the God who hired you to worship Him. I told you that I would tell you more about my door that I brought with me. This is a very ordinary door. In fact, this came out of my house. It's a closet door. And most of us, if not all of us, have seen a door that looks exactly like this one. Nothing unusual about this door. Have you ever wondered, though, why doors look the way they do? Maybe I'm weird because I wonder that kind of thing. But let me tell you about this door. This door, for those of you who are art majors or architects, this door was designed 300 years ago in the early 1700s. Came out of the Georgian period, early American colonial period. And yet we still have these doors. In fact, I looked up interior door on Lowe's website this past week, and that's what I typed in, and this door came up like 1,000 different varieties and colors of this door. This particular design was produced first by a carpenter in the early 1700s. And as the story goes, this carpenter had come to faith in Jesus. And after coming faith in Jesus, he was so grateful, he was so taken by the good news of Jesus Christ that he wanted to devote all of his life to serving his Savior. And at first he thought, I can't just be a carpenter anymore. I've got to go be a preacher or a missionary or something. But he was an excellent carpenter. And he had people, customers, who were waiting for him to build their homes and their cabinets and their doors. And so he stayed in carpentry, but for a while he wrestled, feeling like, I'm wasting my time as a carpenter when I could be out there telling people about Jesus. And then he had the idea of designing this door, and he called it the Cross and Bible Door. You see the top four panels there make a cross, and the bottom two panels resemble an open Bible. 300 years ago, this carpenter came up with this door design that testifies, that reminds us, that tells us of the good news of Jesus Christ that is found in the Bible. And now today, you and I, many of us have these doors hanging in our homes and in our workplaces. Some of you are thinking, what do my doors look like at home? Go home and see if you have a door like this in your house. In fact, I was talking to Cheryl, and she said that she has all her doors look exactly the same except for one, and it's this one. They all look different, but this one. Most of you have a door like this somewhere, and it is a reminder of the good news of Jesus Christ. This carpenter didn't have to become a preacher or a missionary for his job to become an expression of worship to his Savior. He didn't have to worship Jesus on the weekends and then devote his life to work all week long. He opened the door between his worship and his work, and that work is still reminding you and I to worship today. You might not be able to carve a cross in whatever you do, but you can worship God. Whether you are in a carpenter's shop or in a church building or on a patio at Chick-fil-A, you can worship God with your job, because you and I were created to cooperate with Him and to express His image in the world around us, and He is inviting us to come to Him and to put our faith in Jesus Christ and to be made right with Him so that we can accomplish that job that He has given us. There is great purpose for you in your work, because God has already invited you and hired you into relationship with Him through faith in Jesus, and you and I can cooperate with Him and express His image all throughout this city. I want to be a church family, a community of people who go out into workplaces and into homes and into all over this city, and whatever work we do, for people to say, that's a worshiper. That's a worshiper. That's a worshiper. That person knows God, and I know something of Jesus Christ because of the way that person works. That's what God invites us to do. That's the greater purpose that we can have in our work through faith in Jesus Christ.